then the word geoengineering. Same with 05G, ZERO5G.com. Thank you so much for being on In Other News.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been a pleasure. Appreciate it.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again next Monday, 11 p.m. Visit inothernewsradio.com for an archive of shows and more information about the guests.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Executive Order 8C3423.
Listen to this, boys. Night shift again.
I'll be damn late.
Thank you.
think there's no place to hide.
Now, where are my people? 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 Where are my people?
Somebody cared enough to have a dream.
Shift.
How long has it been since you've slept? How long has it been since you've slept?
Designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry.
That, sir, is illogical.
The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding? Consuelo, they're not human.
It seems to me that the overall vagueness of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I'm talking about it. I'm talking about it, and I'm talking about it. 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 I'm talking about it, and I have no idea.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea.
I'm talking about it.
Next.
I'm talking about it.
And I have no idea.
Next. Thank you.
I'm talking about it.
You get it. You're the one. We want you.
The name of the show.
Night Shift.
And I have no idea.
Night Shift.
I'm talking about it.
Night Shift.
And I have no idea.
Talking.
I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here.
No idea.
Don't read me your face, 'cause I'm not.
I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this.
Talk of my own love. You talk of love. That you feel it feels untrue. And that it comes.
I saw something, they saw something.
Night Shift.
It only happens here.
Night Shift.
It's invisible.
Night Shift.
But you can feel it.
Night Shift.
There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
I know this, I am free. Ooh, I am free.
Night Shift.
Ow.
It only happens here.
Night Shift.
Now I know this. Now I know this.
Were you enjoying that, Byron?
Ah, you know, there's something special about DGM.
Yes.
Just like, it just, and you know, that piano lead in that solo was just marvelous.
You were with that, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness.
Yes, DGM.
DGM.
This is why we're here. Because if you can't feel it, Byron,
right,
what's the point?
Exactly.
Do you agree, mystery guest?
Well, if you can't feel it, you could study the humans who do.
Study.
There's always
study the what?
The humans who do feel.
Mm.
If you were from outer space.
Study the humans.
Byron. Yeah.
You've gone to the places where they enjoy this.
Conduct.
I understand.
They study the course. All you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. The name of the show is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with Byron Saunders.
Night Shift.
And the mystery guest.
Night Shift.
It's my favorite show.
It's not like anything else.
For professional use as
I think when they make stuff like this, they know it's going to get played on Night Shift, you know. I picture them like, you know, in the studio going,
yes,
we'll get this on Night Shift if nothing else. Do you concur, Mr. Guest?
Maybe in some cases.
Always. Either that or they go, Night Shift will discover us.
It's a win-win all the way around.
Now, here's what's interesting, Byron. Because the theme of the show is that life is like science fiction, we're going to talk about a few things here. We're going into the new year. It's the year 2018, which was a science fiction novel, by the way, by James Blish, who wrote these Star Trek novelizations of the TV shows. But here's the thing, Byron. It is a Chinese curse to say, may you live in interesting times. Okay, so we're living in the Chinese curse right now.
But it's a great auspicious year.
Living in the Chinese curse.
Well
you, what does that
big
mean,
eight at
Mr.
the end,
Guess? It's
very,
we're living in an auspicious
very
year.
Very fortuitous number.
That's
it. Sounds like money in Chinese. So
what does?
The number eight, how it's it's pronounced. It sounds like riches or fortune, so it sounds like, and therefore it's very lucky.
Interesting.
Nine is also a very lucky.
Well, I have a question for both of you. For Byron, as well, just being Byron and, you know, having lived as you have, you know, just to give a little context, Byron, you're a man of color. In the 60s, you were a teenager in the 60s during the civil rights and You know, you've lived, Byron. You've seen the world. So, I ask you, as that man, and then I ask you, Mr. Guess, much younger, female, what are your thoughts on the concept that Oprah could run for president? What's your thought on that?
You go,
I have to say, I have to just... So, I'll ask you first, Mr. Guess, because, you know, you're the woman.
Well, I think, you know, you go, girl. She's got the vote, doesn't she? She's got the clout.
Well, you didn't see the speech. I'm going to play the speech to you because you haven't seen the speech, but it is worth playing. Byron, I know you saw the speech, so
several times.
All right, you saw it several times.
Okay. Over.
And I can't say enough. Enough about it. But yes. What do you think about the concept of Oprah running for president?
Okay.
And I'd like to take a couple calls on that.
Surely. Are you ready?
I want to know your opinion, Byron. I've been waiting all day.
I love Oprah.
There you go.
I love Oprah. And I'm going to say this in the context of why I do love her, because I don't want anyone who would sit on the sidelines attempting to destroy someone who I honor would be, in my opinion, the most vile thing that could be done. And I would not want to have anything injured to the icon that I so treasure.
Okay. But where are you going? I'm not sure where you're going.
Because
if she
were to be president,
yes,
we've already seen what a black male...
What they did to Obama. Okay, talk to me.
And there is a far political right wing called alt-right that is out to destroy the liberties and freedoms of a democratic process and ideal, because they want to, they are racist.
So,
they're white supremacists.
We know all this. So, where are you going?
I don't want anything to happen to my icon and to set her up.
So you think for her to be president would be a bad idea, or to run would be a bad idea?
Let's hear me out.
I want to hear
because I want to understand that I think Oprah could be very instrumental in who the next president will be, and I think it will be a woman.
That's a good point too.
And I think
so
that
think
ultimately
she
is good to create. And
she can throw her hat.
She could be a star maker, creative candidate.
Exactly.
Science fiction right there.
Use the notoriety, because she doesn't need to be president. She needs to stay right where she is and be Oprah.
But she needs to pick one.
But
I'm with you, Byron. I'm with you, Byron. I'm with you.
Point of which, now, the best use of...
Of power.
Isn't she one of the wealthiest people in the country?
Yeah, but you know, it's not just about wealth. Byron.
She's
one of the richest people. She's definitely rich, and she's one of the richest
people.
But it's not about money.
Yes,
it's about influence.
It's about power.
But that's the power. The power is influence.
Build the base.
That's how Trump won. And it's how Obama won people.
She's legitimately, like, she's made herself.
Good.
Exactly.
So the framework for building
power foundation base.
I'm with you.
Oprah's best position.
But to get behind by somebody
to
good.
Be able to, and if she wants a position, she can name it. That's okay by me,
Let me get specific with your question. Okay, now I embrace your.
She would have to give enormous amounts of power to just go run a country right now our country needs someone who can governance based on an understanding of the Constitution, based on law, because it's out of control in which those laws are being perverted, and at the point in which the person who becomes the next president to oust this president must get back to the principles of the law and Constitution.
Well, I agree with you 100%.
They have committed treason.
Mm-hmm.
They crossed the line.
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, so let's be very frank here, in which ultimately...
So wait, let me be specific in my question to your answer. No, I'm with you. I'm with it, Byron. I'm with it. I'm glad you're here. But here's my question now.
Yes.
In regards to... You say Oprah would be better as a kingmaker than a king. What is it you see that you said you don't want to see anything happen to her? What is it you see as the downside of her if she did run in and become president? What's the greatest damage you see happening?
We've already seen how they wanted to dismantle Obama's administration.
That's what they're doing now, right?
Completely.
Right. Well, that's,
and in my opinion, that's based more on race than anything else.
Of course.
And if you allow it that position to keep exacerbating itself, it will keep getting out of hand. And the fascism that everybody is saying could potentially happen will continue to happen towards that. America's police and military position right now is of a bully's position. And ultimately, they're trying to bully everybody and everybody in the world.
Brian, I agree with you. But bring it back to Oprah now. Tell me.
So I think Oprah's power base is more in communication, where she is the queen. She can get the message out.
Well, now, I'm listening to you because I'm going to play devil's advocate with you. After you keep going.
But if she wants to run for president, she must understand.
Tell me the damage you see.
She must understand.
And because you give me this whole context of the what's going on in the fascism.
The far right would try to just create a very volatile
throw a
bologna situation.
Sandwich across the room. And
because it's not conducive at the moment. And here's the other thing that I'm very concerned about. We have gotten into this process of thinking that a billionaire, which Oprah is, as well as Trump, because of their business acumen, can run a nation of 350 million people. And the concept of there being business really isn't what the federal government is supposed to be all about. Technically, it was set up so that it could be managing the law. Managing the Constitution.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
So it's impugning that concept. Is that,
well, it's already impugned. It's already been corrupted.
It's out of control.
We're there. My question to you is...
Now, I want a politician. I think a politician is necessary.
Now,
someone who is very...
I am going to say this
I think
you.
It should be
all right,
a woman.
Okay, that's okay.
I think it should be a woman. I have several women.
I have women of color. But I do believe a woman... Right now, men have, and I'm going to take a piece of this because I'm a man, but we have a lot.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
What?
So that we've kind of put the world in a situation in which it's now it's time for women. Please, women, come
like
in
Draco
and help and clean up the mess that we have. I apologize.
So you think women should come and clean the mess?
We have no other choice.
Okay, I'm with you.
I'm with you, all the women. Women's revolution
but
going on.
Just so I'm understanding.
Yes.
The biggest problem you have, or the concern you have with if Oprah were to become president, is the opposition she's going to have?
It would be at the, because I think our country has gotten out of control with respect to respecting the letter of law. Constitutionally,
I agree with you. We have
a right and a left who continue to impugn the
Constitution. How is that going to know who anybody who's in there that's trying to do?
Not Oprah putting surprises under seats.
See, the Democratic Party has to energize itself at its base. They have more numbers. They just were voter suppressed not to show up at the polls. So we have to figure out the analysis of that as a real problem, because if we
have
all the numbers.
I'm still going back to the great danger. Let me be more specific.
Yes.
Now, did you go off in your Byron pontifications?
No.
Listen to me. Here's my question. I'm going to get real specific for you.
Okay.
What is it about Oprah?
Yes.
Okay. Being in that position.
Well.
That you feel, hold on, is more damaging than, let's say, that politician. Like, what is it that's going to happen to Oprah that wouldn't happen to the politician that's trying to do the same thing?
Well,
that's my question.
Because if Oprah tries to do the same thing that's already in play from the position.
Be president. That's whatever that takes and what that means to you. That's what we're talking about. Her becoming, running and becoming president. Both things, running and becoming president. You said you don't want to see that happen. You don't want to see things happen to her. And I'm saying what happened that will happen to her that you feel either A, it should be the worst thing to happen to her, or B, would not happen to a politician.
Both.
Like,
that was a question. That wasn't
a
statement.
Are they going to find out?
That was a question.
What would happen would be, does Oprah want to undertake the battle of people trying to disrupt her empire, who would intentionally do it to disrupt Oprah's presence and stature.
Okay. All right.
And see, why create a confrontation of that nature? We've already seen that there's a president and a party right now, the Republican Party, who have pretty much tried to dismantle the last administration's.
Yeah, well, you said this before, Brian. I'm declaring it
based on a kind of racism that has got to be stopped.
Again, I agree with all of that.
But why would you want Oprah to be president?
I don't even ask them why they want. I want to know how they feel about it, whether they want it or not, or if they don't, if they
all
do.
All right.
Let me go to the mystery guest.
Well, how do you feel about it?
Well, I'm gonna get to you. You were good. You gave me a lot to feet to chew on. I'm gonna throw a lot back at you, but I want to hear what the mystery guest. She seems she had something.
Oh, have I?
You seem like you had something to say because you're talking over Byron. So, and that's a rare thing.
Well, it's a good thing my volume is down.
Well, I wanted to hear Byron if you talk about Byron. Because you can't get crosstalk.
I heard.
All right, so talk to me now. What is it you want?
So yeah, I just, you know, I think, you know, Oprah's more than an entertainer. She's, you know, an enlightened person with serious thoughts and deep concerns for people on every level. You know, the person across the hall, the person in the same room, the people across the country or whatever it is in the middle, whoever knows, you know, like she's a person who feels for people and who has empathy. And she's also been very successful, quite, you know, her own accomplishment. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for her. So, you know, I mean, I like to imagine that, you know, this scenario play out where she's the president and then she can have fun unraveling whatever haphazardly knit, you know, thing is going on now, as opposed to what's going on now dismantling what was carefully interwoven for 8 years previously, you know. So, I mean, whoever comes in next should really, like, take care, kind of like blowing down the sandcastle that's, you know, present on the beach right now. But anyway, whether that's Oprah or anyone else, I think she's proven herself for decades to be someone, you know, who many people across the spectrum.
You think she's up to a lot of tasks. And so you disagree with Byron then that it would be the wrong move for her?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think that's for her to decide.
I'm asking your opinion.
My opinion.
Your opinion is it? You know, is it? Do you agree with Byron? It would be a bad move. Better to be a kingmaker than a king, or do you think she should be the king or the queen, as it were?
Well, you know,
queen.
You know, I'd have to think about it. Okay. You know, I really can't say.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you gave that answer, because that's a good answer. And as we do the show here and progress, and I'm going to play the speech to you, and great, I'm going to give you my opinion, and we'll take some calls and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of that segment, you will then render.
Yeah. Like, if I had a dream.
Render your opinion.
And it's a beautiful presentation.
What is
Oprah's?
Oh, you know, the speech. Well, experience. You know, here's what I got to say about this speech and what it reminded me. Watching her do the speech, you know, because I had to cover it on a TV thing. You know, it was so empowering, and she was so captivating, and you could see as they panned the room, just how people were hanging on her every word, wanting her to inspire them. They were looking to her for inspiration, and that's a very powerful position. No, she was, and you can't overstate it. It sounds like her hyperbole, but it reminded me of, you know, clearly, you know, we went from having a Rhodes Scholar to the person that's in power now. But what we've also seen, standing back from this, is that what does it take now to become president? What does it take to win an election? you know, within all the corruption, within the how the parties are set up, what does it take to win? What does it take to become the candidate? Okay, and what it takes now is a different kind of power. We live in a different age. We live in an age of the immediacy of contact, the immediacy of communication. You know, we live in an age where a president doesn't have to go through, doesn't have to, and perhaps he should, that's not another conversation, but doesn't have to go through all the channels and you know, have it all carefully constructed, and a president can tweet and set foreign policy and you know, do good or bad, can make decisions about the country. So that being said, now I'm also saying, now we also are living in the same time, ironically, where the reason women have this power now, we're in the Me Too movement and all of that, and what she was talking about, is because of that same immediacy, because of social media, because how quickly the word can get out and can spread, people can vote in that way, and can be influenced by information and what's happened, and have an opinion and want to state it. We live in this age now where everybody wants to have a say. It hasn't completely translated, obviously, into voting, because voting, in my opinion, it's an antiquated way we vote. So it's not made. We live in a society of convenience, yet voting is the least convenient thing to do, which is ridiculous. But that being said, seeing her do that thing reminded me of what it was like having this great orator, this inspirational leader that we had in Obama, that when he spoke, even if you didn't like, even people who didn't like Obama were impressed, were inspired by him. So the question I have, and what occurred to me, Byron, is at this point, to make change, to affect change, because it's not just about winning the election. We know Oprah could win an election. That's obvious. But like you said, now, would it be good for her to be president? I have to say, I think that what Oprah would do would be smart enough to surround herself with the best people. And she would have an agenda that her overall agenda may not. And again, you spoke of politics, and I'm going to come back to that, to what I think the modern day politician is. That's something else. But to a good strategist, a good business person, a good problem solver, which is really what you get paid most for in the world, in society, is problem solving. That's what, at the top of the chain, if you're the president of the company, the country, you're solving all the big problems, or you got a team of people helping you solve them. I think she's good at problem solving. I think she's good at achieving goals. I think she, as Mr. Guest said, cares about the world, not just her people, not just women of color. She cares about the world. She cares about people. She cares about women. She cares about girls. She cares about humans. She cares. And it's not about, you know, she's someone who is always giving. And when you hear the speech, you'll see she talks about what she tries to do in her work. And, you know, and she's an artist too. Let's just throw that in there, which to me is, you know, not something to be ignored. I say all that to say, I think, in terms of creative problem solving, in terms of the intelligence she would bring to it, in terms of what her overall agenda would be, I think at this age, I would rather see not a politician. I'm not saying I agree with everything you said about how things have been corrupted, and I agree with everything you're saying about how we should get back to the Constitution, but I don't think that that's what the president necessarily has to be steeped in. I think that that is what the president should be smart enough to surround themselves with, the people who have the correct agenda, the people who are going to do that. So my thought is, Byron, yes, I disagree with you.
Yes.
I disagree with you for those reasons. Now, well, now before you say anything more, because you had a whole bunch of talk, and I even faded down the mystery guess, I'm going to play the speech and then let the mystery guess, and then we're going to talk. Okay, so. You just hold yourself there, Byron. I know Byron's holding himself. Just hold yourself, Byron. Mr. Guest, can you?
Because I do have a solution.
I have a very logical solution. Listen, Byron.
And it's perfectly wrapped in logic.
Don't even go there yet. Don't even go there.
Thank
Okay.
But we will
keep
get
people
there.
Listening.
Yes.
Got to keep people listening.
All right.
All right. You
What's
are
the
tuned. The phone number for to call in to say something and tell us what you think is 347-335-0818. And you can tell us what you think of Oprah running for president as Byron, the mystery guest, and I have spoken.
It's a wonderful moment.
This is an interesting moment. Life is like science fiction.
It's a beautiful moment.
It's an interesting time we live in, Byron.
Yes.
So hold on. Here we go.
I was impressed.
Yes, everybody's, you know, I'm just going to read some of the headlines as I'm looking for the video here. Oprah Winfrey's Golden Globe script, full transcript, okay. Talk of Oprah running for president captivates Democrats. Next one. Oprah knew exactly what she was doing Sunday night. Next one. Get a grip, people. Oprah should not run for president.
Ooh.
Next one. Oprah would make an exceptional president, CNN. Next one. Oprah could run. Oprah could win. Is America insane? Okay.
What?
I'm telling you, these are just the... these are just...
Do we need to ask that question to figure that one out?
These are just the headlines. So it's an interesting time. We're living in the Chinese curse, Byron. And I think
there's been a couple of times that we had some situations in the White House historically that people have to keep in mind.
We had some situations in the White House?
Yes, we have that. Because outside the Beltway, or as they say, outside Washington,
outside D.C., the Beltway.
It was a known fact that when Ronald Reagan was in the White House, he was suffering from Alzheimer's.
Sure.
Yes.
And people across the country don't realize it because he was so idolized.
Well, they didn't let it out till later on.
But you know how many years that took to let it out? He wasn't a good governor in the state of Georgia. He was a movie TV idol. And we got a taste of what that was about back during that time so that to understand why we have a Donald Trump and the potential of, ultimately... Oprah is a good candidate.
Now, Byron, you can't go back on
I'm
your.
Not
you
going
can't
to
go back.
Back
you get you, t-
no,
Byron. I'm gonna rewind the tape.
What?
That's the yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Candidate, but
hold him down.
Hold him down. But you know what? I think position.
He's gonna defend her every step of the way.
The position that I think she would be best suited.
He's gonna change his position.
The position I think she would be best
suited. No, listen, Byron. I embrace your concept.
Run for vice president.
Run for vice president. Oh, Byron says Oprah for vice president. Get that T-shirt. Get it out right now. Get that T-shirt right now, Byron.
I'm going to
play this.
Whoever they pick.
Mr. Guest, I'm going to play the speech. Calm yourself. Listen, Byron, we're going to the video. We're going to the speech.
I'll hold this. This is a perfect solution.
But I'm glad that, I know, Byron, you are the perfect man, so of course you have the perfect solution. But, Mr. Guest, you should probably look at some. I'm going to spin this thing around so you can look at it. I have it queued up, but I'm going to spin it around for the mystery guest so that she can... All right, so I'm going to play the Oprah speech from the Golden Globes here on listener-sponsored radio. Then we're going to talk about it. We're going to take some calls, 347-335-0818. You can tell me what you think. Is it like hyperbole? Is it, do you agree with Byron? No freaking way? Okay. All right, somebody's calling already before we even play it, but let's see who this is. We'll let them wait. Who is this?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
How are you?
And what's your name?
This is Mike Sargent. Hour, right?
This is the Mike Sargent Hour. Yes, it is. The Mike Sargent Hour.
Yes. Deanna.
And what's your name?
Deanna.
All right. Well, Deanna, we're about to play there, but did you want to tell us, do you think Oprah should run for president?
Let me tell you. Mm. As lawyers say, she has clean hands.
Mm.
She's a person with clean hands.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Amen.
A rags to riches story.
Yes.
They
mm-hmm.
love it.
Mm-hmm.
She is also a Me Too person. She's mm-hmm. been through all kinds of trauma. People love her because they can identify with her.
Listen. I get it. Oprah could win. My question to you, specifically you, is: do you think she should run? And do you think she'd be a good president?
If she has the cojones to run, because let me tell you. But you know what? She could slam everybody.
Mm.
This woman has so much authority because that she earned. If you want to talk about a meritocracy, this woman has a lot of hard-won work and she has talent. So I think if she wants to do it, she could try because a lot of these men, they ascended without real merit. They just, because they're a bunch of guys, I think. You know, and
you ain't alone in thinking that.
Earned it in a man's world. Come on. And she's great with relating to people. I don't know, whatever. I think she has a talent, and I think, and you were saying something about, oh, you don't have to follow all the protocol. But that's not a problem. She knows how to do things by the book. She's good by the book. She can get, see, she can delegate authority.
Yeah. I'm with you. Now, listen, quick question. Did you see the Golden Globe speech?
Yes.
All right.
Well, riveting, right?
Riveting. Oh, we're going to play it now.
Riveting.
What? We're going to play it right now, so stay
yeah,
there.
She's great, I love it. She's riveting. She's awesome. In the moment.
Thank you, Reese. In 1964, I was a little girl sitting on the linoleum floor of my mother's house in Milwaukee, watching Anne Bancroft present the Oscar for Best Actor at the 36th Academy Awards. She opened the envelope and said five words that literally made history. The winner is Sidney Poitier. Up to the stage came the most elegant man I had ever seen. I remember his tie was white, and of course his skin was black, and I'd never seen a black man being celebrated like that. And I have tried many, many, many times to explain what a moment like that means to a little girl, a kid watching from the cheap seats, as my mom came through the door, bone-tired from cleaning other people's houses. But all I can do is quote and say that the explanation in Sidney's performance in Lilies of the Field, amen, 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 amen. In 1982, Sidney received the Cecil B. DeMille Award right here at the Golden Globes, and it is not lost on me that at this moment, there are some little girls watching as I become the first black woman to be given the same award. It is an honor. It is an honor, and it is a privilege to share the evening with all of them, and also with the incredible men and women who've inspired me, who've challenged me, who've sustained me and made my journey to this stage possible. Dennis Swanson, who took a chance on me for AM Chicago. Quincy Jones, who saw me on that show and said to Steven Spielberg, yes, she is Sophia in The Color Purple. Gail, who's been the definition of what a friend is, and Stedman, who's been my rock, just a few to name. I'd like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, because we all know that the press is under siege these days. But we also know that it is the insatiable dedication to uncovering the absolute truth that keeps us from turning a blind eye to corruption and to injustice. To tyrants and victims and secrets and lies. I want to say that I value the press more than ever before as we try to navigate these complicated times, which brings me to this. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. And I'm especially proud and inspired by all the women who have felt strong enough and empowered enough to speak up and share their personal stories. Each of us in this room are celebrated because of the stories that we tell. And this year, we became the story. But it's not just a story affecting the entertainment industry. It's one that transcends any culture, geography, race, religion, politics, or workplace. So I want tonight to express gratitude to all the women who have endured years of abuse and assault because they, like my mother, had children to feed and bills to pay and dreams to pursue. They're the women whose names we'll never know. They are domestic workers and farm workers. They are working in factories, and they work in restaurants, and they're in academia and engineering and medicine and science. They're part of the world of tech and politics and business. There are athletes in the Olympics, and there are soldiers in the military. And there's someone else, Recy Taylor. A name I know, and I think you should know too. In 1944, Recy Taylor was a young wife and a mother. She was just walking home from a church service. She'd attended in Abbeville, Alabama, when she was abducted by six armed white men, raped and left blindfolded by the side of the road, coming home from church. They threatened to kill her if she ever told anyone. But her story was reported to the NAACP, where a young worker by the name of Rosa Parks became the lead investigator on her case. And together, they sought justice. But justice wasn't an option in the era of Jim Crow. The men who tried to destroy her were never persecuted. Recy Taylor died 10 days ago, just shy of her 98th birthday. She lived, as we all have lived, too many years in a culture broken by brutally powerful men. For too long, women have not been heard or believed if they dared to speak their truth to the power of those men. But their time is up. Their time is up. Your time is up. And I just hope that Recy Taylor died knowing that her truth, like the truth of so many other women who were tormented in those years, and even now tormented, goes marching on. It was somewhere in Rosa Parks' heart almost 11 years later when she made the decision to stay seated on that bus in Montgomery. And it's here with every woman who chooses to say, me too. And every man who chooses to listen. In my career, what I've always tried my best to do, whether on television or through film, is to say something about how men and women really behave, to say how we experience shame, how we love and how we rage, how we fail, how we retreat, persevere, and how we overcome. And I've interviewed and portrayed people who've withstood some of the ugliest things life can throw at you, but the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights. So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that they become the leaders who take us to the time when nobody ever has to say, me too, again. Thank you.
So.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes. Now, I think so. Now, mystery guest. Now, here's a couple things occurred to me, and I'm curious what occurs to you, because you hadn't heard this before, or you hadn't seen it. But a couple things. One, you know, what do you do with that power? What do you do with the power of influence? What do you do with, when you have the ability to reach people? When you have the ability to influence people, when you have the ability to empower people, what do you do with it?
It seems you empower and you reach, and that's what she did.
Well, that's
what she did right there.
But you see, now here's the thing, and this is what I'm what I was getting about what's changed in the age we live in is that, you know, that's what Donald Trump had. He had influence. He had listenership. He had likability. Yeah. He had fans. Mm-hmm. He had people who, you know, he appealed to, and he still does. But
he also has megalomania.
Well, that's not even the issue. That's the downside. That's the negative. I'm talking about what does he have? What is his currency that he's been able to utilize to achieve what he has achieved? Because this new book that's come out, Fire and Fury, you know, it's no revelation that he had no idea that he could possibly win. He didn't know he was going to win. He wasn't even planning to win. You know, the other thing I have to say though is, at this point, you know, politicians. You talked about politics, Byron. You know, politics. You know, basically, you know, the real definition of politics is people, but. You know, what politics have become, when you say politics, oh, there's politics in the office or discussion of politics, it's maneuvering. It's knowing how to work that system and the quote unquote political system. You know, if you're a political animal, if you know what you have to do and who you paw, you have to grease and all those things, that's where all the corruption is. So, you know, the what Donald Trump wanted or let's just say sold himself as to those who were tired of the corruption is to drain the swamp. We won't get into the fact that he's the swamp thing.
Yeah.
But that's what he sold, and why was he able to sell it? Because people are tired of politicians.
He's the dude with
so
the truck.
That's my thought on the Oprah thing. Now what's the phone number here, Byron?
The phone number here is 347-335-0818.
Now, what are your thoughts now, having seen the thing now, Mystery Guest?
Yeah, I thought...
Did you find it inspiring?
Inspirational, yeah. Riveting was the word your caller used. Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I'm riveted.
And did you notice how the people who were watching her, the women who were looking, you could see it in there. They were looking, men, everybody,
everyone was captured on
they wanted to hear what she had to say.
Everyone and they cut away to. Everyone,
exactly.
Everyone.
And everyone. No matter how powerful they may be in whatever it is that they do. So.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Oprah brings that clout.
It's a historic
speech.
People
want to listen to her.
It's a historic moment.
Yeah, it was a very historic moment.
It's a historic moment.
She knows how to play the, you know, she builds and she knows how. I mean, she's an actress.
And here's what exactly. Talk show
she's
host, actress, orator.
She's got it. You know, like she's a natural. But I wanted to say something else, which was, you know, I think. For me, having just seen this for the first time just now, what strikes me as important is, you know, the inspirational speech, you know, and what I got out of it was that it's kind of a call, you know, and kind of like a regathering. You know, all these women have been gathering, all these different factions have been gathering about these very important things in our world today, and... You know, she's just regathering and, you know, bringing people together to inspire them, and women in particular, and girls in particular. And, you know, she's there to empower, and she's there to inspire. And she's carrying that banner and that flag and that torch, you know, but the thing is, everyone's been... carrying their own, and it's, you know, in one march of sorts, you know, across social media, across in real places and virtual, you know, gathering this momentum behind this idea of, you know, women deserve this and, you know, all different peoples deserve this. And anyway, I just feel as if the inspiration, the momentum that's built, you know, my concern personally is wanting to see it continue and not become, say, the thing that, you know, we forget about next week. I don't think that's going to happen because I think the power behind it is so vast. I think there are so many people behind it. Me too. How many me's are there? How many twos are there? You know, it's just, it's a force, you know, and I think the message from the speech, you know, here we are, you know, it's a new time. I feel like, you know, I just want to see that resonate. I want to see that resonate for a while. I don't want to see it, you know, get, you know, some next big thing comes along in the news cycle. You know, I mean, I want to see that coming back. I want to see the progress report on it. You know, I want to see more speeches like that. You know, and I want to see more talk about all these little things that are getting, you know, we're tripping ourselves up over. All these little news stories. Oh, hey, guess what happened? You know, oh, well, this happened 50 years ago, and this happened 70 years ago, and this happened 2 years ago, and this happened yesterday. You know, and this is happening now. You know, and all of these different injustices, you know, people can kind of come together to talk about and to display and express a certain outrage against.
And make change.
And make change.
And make change. One all thing right, so I just want to say what station you're listening to, Brian.
Yes, WBAI.
WBAI, 99.5 FM. Yes. Name of the show.
Night Shift.
All right, so Byron, you have an answer for everything. Had an answer. You had a simple answer. I want to hear it.
Naked.
He knows the secret of the universe. Byron Saunders. Secret of the universe.
Some men say if they're clothed.
Byron Saunders.
Byron says if they're naked.
Clothed.
I like that. I like that.
I know. Well, Byron has like a lot of naked clothed people around him.
All right, so Oprah's opportunity to be president.
Wait, is this your answer? You said you had an answer, simple answer. I want to know the answer, Byron. You promised the answer to all.
No, what? The answer is simple. She should not. I come back to it. But here's the deal.
You go back
here's
to it.
Deal.
Go ahead,
here's the deal. I do believe this. The position I would like to see Oprah take, mm-hmm. as I've already decided. As a queen maker. However, as I was saying it, I said, wouldn't it be nice? I was thinking
hashtag
to myself.
Hashtag Oprah make a
hashtag,
queen.
Wouldn't it be nice if Oprah could be, no matter who the candidate is, to be the vice presidential candidate?
Vice president. But, Oprah for vice president.
But,
yes.
But, I'm with that. But, and she should be able to run in the primaries with everything else, and if the body decides that she's the candidate to
Byron, what is that? What
because
is that?
It's you're democracy.
I feel like
democracy.
That's the role
it's
she wants
democracy.
I want to know and Byron Saunders' opinion.
No, listen here. Listen, I'm strategizing
okay,
here.
Okay,
I'm going to get into if she's going to be president, it'll be is because she beat all the other candidates who are worthy.
Obviously.
In the Democratic primary.
Obviously.
Because it is a process.
You can't
obviously.
It's
going to breathe air. It's going to be because there's
but
oxygen.
Whoever, she can broker her way to say, whoever is the vice presidential candidate, even to declare it right now.
Oprah for vice president.
Oprah for vice president.
Mm.
Who's think the casting it. Director?
All right, Byron Saunders. Oprah for vice president.
So what do you think, caller?
Yeah, caller, what do you think?
Diana,
yeah,
what do you think?
Diana.
She's perfectly capable of being at the helm.
Thank you. Thank you.
She's capable. She can step
you can't be on both sides, Byron. No.
She could
you said
those.
She shouldn't run. I got her to take the playbook.
She could win the Oscar.
She has nothing to hide. Mm. Transparency will
that's
be
right.
her forte.
That's right.
Because when you run your government with the people in mind, people first, and she's coming from the bottom. She's from the bottom of
socioeconomic
level. You know, she worked her way up. My goodness, this woman deserves whatever she wants.
What's your quote there? Transparency is my what?
She's like queen of the world to me. But she's humble. She's humble.
She's very humble.
She's very humble. That is an important quality.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
And she's strong. She's very strong. Humble. Oh, my gosh. She's very strong, too. Don't mess with Oprah. Don't even try.
She's humble, though. But she's humble, but she's righteous. She's righteous.
And she knows karate.
And she knows karate, too.
She doesn't speak out of her neck.
Everything
she ever says
is
very thoughtful. She's thoughtful. She would be a great person.
Listen, she's thoughtful, but what's interesting about those articles I was reading, those headlines where everybody's got to pay, Oprah knew what she was doing. You know, it's like, of course she did.
Oh, come on.
I think she went out to make an inspiring speech. I don't think she had an agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
that
think she
is
had
an
some
agenda.
Kind of, I'm running for president.
Her agenda was to inspire people.
Yes,
what the hell was
in
wrong
the
with
moment.
You?
She's not
her
sitting up there.
Her agenda is to honor Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
That too. Listen, she had a damn good speech. Her speech was real, and that's what's
it's
missing.
Reality.
Listen to me. That's what's missing. Reality.
Yes.
I could see her.
She was a piece of taste of reality. We're missing that.
That was beautiful. See, the circle.
We need to come out of virtual reality and come back to reality.
I could see her
I'm serious.
Doing a bigger circle.
That was what 2017 was. It was all about being in virtual reality. Now it's time to be in reality.
Where did Trump come from? Trump came
oh my God.
Trump.
he crawled out of the toilet.
Please,
he crawled out of the porta potty.
He's a silver spoon.
Someone better
he's
drain
a silver
that
spoon.
Well.
Okay.
Yes,
he and Rick Schroeder. Rick Schroeder.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, you tuned to Listen Sponsored Radio, and Diana, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
And how long have you been listening to the show, Diana? How long have you been listening to the show?
Oh, you guys are so bad. You know, you mellow out tonight.
All right. Well,
just mellow it out.
Thank you.
How long have you been listening? I'm glad you're
very thoughtful and very, very comical. And very
thoughtful and comical.
You know, you got all of it together.
Well, Diana, just for you, we're going to increase the dosage, okay?
There it is.
More
you know
love.
What?
More
what?
Love to you. We're going to increase the dosage of Night Shift.
Oh, okay.
More
okay.
love
That's
to
right.
you.
More love.
Okay. Thank you. I'm a member.
We know that.
You better
yes.
be. You better thank be. You. Be a buddy,
you.
Too.
Remember,
we need a buddy.
I'm
be
a
buddy.
Bye bye.
All right. What's phone number, Byron?
347-335-0818. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. We're here. 347. We're having a party.
335-0818.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show. Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Who's
hey,
this?
Hey.
Who's this?
Lewis,
what's going on? So, Lewis, what do you think about Oprah running for president? What's your concept? What's your thought?
I think she should run for president, and I think she would make a great president.
There it is.
Hello.
No, wait, no, what about? Hold on, stop it. No, yes. Don't you act like he's on your side. So, let me ask you a question. You better stop. You back. Get my whip on you. Get it back over there, Mark. All right. So here's my question to you, Louis. Do you say you disagree with Byron? You don't think she'd be better off making a queen or being vice president
I love Byron. I've been listening to this show since 95.
Mm.
He's my man, but I gotta disagree on this
you
one.
Thank you. Beat him up.
It's okay. We strike conversation here.
Yes, listen.
Yeah.
If I agree with you, it'll be boring, Byron. All right. So you think she'd be a good president? And why do you think she'd be a good president? Is it about the whole transparency thing, or what's your thought?
Exactly what you guys have been saying. I mean, she's definitely a humanitarian, and I feel like we need that. You know, because I mean, the guy in there now is definitely in there for himself.
Not exactly a humanitarian.
She has all of that. Like you said, she will surround herself with the right people. You know, obviously she hasn't been in the politics, so she's not going to know how everything works. But I do think that she's smart enough
to put Byron in the cabinet. Maybe?
Yeah, she doesn't. You know, she doesn't think that she knows it all. You know, so she'll surround herself with the right people. She'll learn as she goes along, And, you know, she'll be able to, like, make those important decisions because, like you said, she's a problem solver. She's definitely a problem solver. The only problem that, the only thing that I'm a little worried about is when they start digging up the dirt. And
when they start thinking what? When they start what?
They start digging up the dirt.
Listen.
Me personally, I don't, you know, I don't care about her sexual preferences or any of that type of stuff. But,
listen,
you
know, I don't think any of those other people do either. You got to look at the top female hosts on TV is a gay white woman and a black woman. So what does that tell you? So, but the other, but I have to also say that you know, an interesting scenario here that Byron proposed is that, you know, when you do have that amount of influence, would it be Nancy Pelosi? Who would you say, Byron, you want to put Oprah behind? Who would you have her get behind or be vice president to?
There are several women.
Okay, Maxine Waters?
Possible, but she would be my fourth or fifth person.
All right, who's your number one and two? Come on, Byron. Reveal yourself.
Number two or number one would be the Kamala Harris or Anne.
For president? Over Oprah?
No, yes, because
the Kamala Oprah ticket.
I'm thinking, seriously, think about this.
I'm thinking.
Because if you have Elizabeth Warren as the other one.
Elizabeth Warren? Okay, yes, I'm with her.
You could throw in Gillibrand.
Who?
Gillibrand.
Okay, so.
You could throw her in because it's going
to
be.
Warren, Oprah.
Gillibrand, Oprah. And I'm saying
Gillibrand, Oprah, Warren, Oprah.
So if Oprah is the presumptive vice president, then any of the other women I just named and throw in some men, you're gonna
vice
have to,
president. You have to oh, throw, you would have her. You would have Oprah be vice president to a man.
To a man.
Shame on you.
And as well as
Erica, beat his ass.
Well, Shonda Rhimes wrote it. I'm just trying to play it out. Okay.
Remember, his name is Byron Saunders. That's SAUNDERS.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show. So, Mr. Sergeant. So anyway, of the women I just named, and then you can have the men who are really politically
adept. Why couldn't they be her vice president and help her with the woman with the vision and the power? Why not have one of, like, why not the Oprah Warren ticket?
I agree.
Or the Oprah whoever your man pick is.
If it, I get Jill Stein.
Jill Stein?
No.
They could tame each other.
No, we never ever. She should never be at anybody's table other than the table where she was at. She betrayed us.
What about Oprah and Rosie?
Am I right? Am I
Oprah and Rosie O'Donnell? Rosie O'Donnell.
Thank you, Lewis. Somebody has to say it. I think that's called treason, but I mean, we can go down that road.
Oh, I forget.
So Lewis is following me. He understands.
All right.
Well, Lewis has been drinking.
It's all right.
I'm fantasizing.
Here's to you, Lewis. Everybody is toasting you, Lewis.
I'm playing fantasy
football. That was the first time I got to hear the speech in its entirety, so I thank you for playing. I missed
that
it.
Was perfect.
Tonight, I was watching the Chai. Whatever. It depends on
what country you're from. Well, you know, listen, I think that it was worth playing because, like I said, I think we're at a moment in history, you know, that you want to look back on. That this time, it does not escape my notice that right after she makes an inspirational speech, and again, we live in a climate where the currency to win is your popularity and your ability to inspire people. That's how Obama won because he was nobody. Nobody heard of Obama, but he was so good, so inspirational, such a great orator. He became shot to the top and became president. And he had all the credentials, but he was so compelling and powerful and inspiring. So that was that. And he used social media, you know, in its infancy.
Some even say that it was partly Oprah that kind of got him that push.
Well, again, he was able to use...
Michelle?
If you remember when, you wouldn't remember, but if you read up on what was happening when Nixon was running up against JFK,
I was there.
The Byron was there. The what people were saying is that JFK, because TV was a part of people's lives now, JFK was more TV friendly. It's like, you know, who do you want to look at more? Nixon's face or JFK's face?
The 5 o'clock shadow or the handsome man from Camelot.
I'm just saying so, but that is a component of yes. human beings. You know, people want something that they're attractive. Who are you going to hire? 3 qualified people come in, you're going to hire the person you like best.
If I have a love story, I want Sir Lancelot.
I know you do, Byron, but I'm not even going
to. He's going to come to the rescue of Genevieve.
No, it's not Genevieve. Okay, that's the French version. It's Guinevere.
Guinevere,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Genevieve! Excalibur! All right, can I finish? Can I? Exactly.
I did say Genevieve. That's a lot. He came from France. Lancelot. And so, yes, he would speak a little French.
Yes.
And that's why he got her. You know, he put that French accent on her, and she just fell in love.
No, you're a fool.
I'm ready for Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh, yeah, power woman. Powerful woman. Been there, done that. She rides, comes in on dragon.
That's right.
Oh,
goodness gracious. So anyway, the candidacy thing, I think, based on our democratic process in which we go through the convention so that Oprah could build up enough candidates to declare whether she could be president.
You're not saying nothing.
Yes, I am. I'm strategizing how this is going to happen.
Me not.
It'll satisfy everybody. Right. Those who want her to run will get their opportunity to go to the ballot box and in their districts as they do the polling, do the democratic thing, and become involved in the process. So you see, it's not about voter suppression. It's about voters getting out and participating because it's at that point it makes the system work. See, one of the ways in combating the problems that we have of the system being broken is that we have to fix it and make it work or discard it.
Take all the polls into account for how they script the next elections. You know, because there's also that kind of thought that it's all sort of scripted.
Yes, but people have to still go vote. If they don't vote, then the majority of the people...
Listen, you gotta change voting. When you change voting, everything will change.
That's right.
No, but I mean change the way we vote. We have to change. That's a whole... Voter reform is a whole other conversation.
No, but that's part of it. You got to have...
Well, it's a different conversation. It's not part of it. It's a different conversation.
It's about how you're going to fix it so that at least you'll have a majority of opinions who are running governance.
Listen.
That's what democracy is really all about.
More people on Twitter than people who vote. That's the problem.
Let me tell you a little anecdotal story.
In Atlanta, anecdotal?
Yes. In Atlanta, yes. This
is this anecdotal, Byron?
In Atlanta, Georgia, the 60th mayor of the city of Atlanta, Georgia, was Keisha Lance Bottoms.
I almost thought
he
said Alicia
Keys. No, not quite.
Brian's got his own reality.
Lance Bottoms. She became the 60th African-American. No, she became the 60th mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, the second African-American woman to Shirley Franklin.
Oh, wow. Only
is she the second African-American woman to run a major city of the South, the city council president is also an African-American woman.
Okay, but I'm with all this info, but what are you getting at?
What I'm getting at is that what is important to understand, the recent victories of the Democratic Party throughout the South, including the Alabama elections, were a testimony of people coming out to vote who were tired of the system. Because the only way you're going
you're to saying, you're saying voting's changing. You're saying people
you
are because well then that's the positive part of the Trump effect that people are.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I agree with you 1,000%.
So that's the arguing about who and why and where the system broke down is okay. It's antithetical.
Well, we weren't arguing.
But my
thing
is to say, what do we have as solutions to keep moving forward?
I think that Byron has to be part of the whatever cabinet.
I'm a citizen who votes. I'm already a part of the cabinet.
I want you in a high position, Byron, because I say Byron will make sure there are no naked people.
I remember the first dance I went to, the music.
Oh, gosh. Yes, it's super.
I don't have like a first job, so I'm going to.
She went to McDonald's.
I can't imagine just what things would be like the next 10 or 15 years. Some things seem a long time ago. I remember we were very happy together.
Thank you.
Okay, Victor. Landing rocket arm switch is on. Here comes the throttle. Circuit breakers in.
We have separation.
Roger.
Inboard and outboard, they're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Oh, looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout. Damper 3.
Get your pitch to zero.
Pitch is out. I can't hold altitude.
Correction. Alpha hold is off. Trip selector is emergency.
Flight calm. I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology. We can make him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster.
Life is like science fiction. Oh my, right here on Night Shift. Woman gets equipped with bionic hand that can actually feel. All right. Prosthetics have improved by leaps and bounds over the past century, and we've reached a point where someone with an artificial limb is often just as capable, and in some cases even more capable, than a person with their natural arms and legs. Still, prosthetics have long fell short. That's right. Still, prosthetics have long fell short in one very important aspect, which is the sense of the touch afforded by human skin. Well, that could all be changing thanks to an incredible breakthrough that has provided a woman with a bionic hand that can actually feel. Al Marina Marcarella lost her left hand and part of her forearm in an accident more than two decades ago and was chosen as one of the test subjects for a new type of prosthetic that relays the feeling of touch to the wearer. Remarkably, it seems to work brilliantly. My goodness. Researchers have outfitted this young lady with an artificial limb, which has full finger movement and soft, tactile fingertips, as well as
a
wearable pouch.
I like soft tactile.
That's right, as well as a wearable pouch with which holds a small computer. Wow. And when the fingers feel something, the signals they generate are sent to the computer, which then processes the information and relays it to her brain via electrodes attached to nerves in her arm. This is the $6 million man and the $3 million woman. I don't know. No, this is right now.
Does all that feeling and processing and electrode transferal happen in real time?
Well, it says that she can tell whether an object is hard or soft, by touching it.
Listen, that is a skill right there, Byron.
And in blindfolded tests, she was able to tell the research team how the object she was touching felt. Now, that's...
What do you think of that, Louie? What do you think of that?
Hold on.
What do you think of that?
I'm feeling it. Hold on, don't stop it. I want more of that. You put it in my fingertips. I'd be snapping fingers for jazz.
It's hard. Very hard.
But it's soft right there. Soft right there. Touch it. Okay. Anyway.
That's my mystery guest invitation, by the way.
All right. Now, that's a remarkable accomplishment, especially considering that most previous experiments with touch-sensitive prosthetics required hardware so large it couldn't be taken out of a laboratory. Now, the feeling is spontaneous.
TSP? Touch sensitive prosthetic?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. The feeling is spontaneous as if it were your real hand, she told the BBC. You're finally able to do things that before were difficult, like getting dressed, putting on shoes.
Like getting dressed.
All mundane but important things. You feel complete. Now, there's obviously still...
Boas, because it feels good.
That's right. And there's obviously still a lot of work to be done to optimize the technology and shrink it down even further. And if the advancements continue to be at this brisk pace, a future where an artificial limb acts like the real deal might not be very far off, as they say. Wow.
Pretty heavy.
That's a good detail for. See, science is moving, so they've actually, it's kind of nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology
down to the fingertips, where there would be a little sensor there as it touches in this bionic arm.
It's called the nanosensor.
That's pretty dynamic.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Life is like science fiction, I have to say. Mr. Guess, are you amazed?
I am personally so amazed.
I think she's amazed.
That I can think of nothing else to add.
Oh, wow.
To this chapter in space.
The final frontier.
I am so impressed that I just cannot fathom anything else to add to this triumphant tale of something unrelated to me. Is it though? Was it? What was the story about? Because I kind of missed it.
I'm sorry. You're just doing a Shatner impression. I understand. Byron?
That was my Spock.
That was Spock?
Fascinating.
Mr. Guest, remember when we were running through old agendas for Night Shift?
Yeah,
this would have been what I'm playing in the background. This is what I would have called rare weirdness. Rare weirdness. This is rare weirdness. Where it's rare weirdness. Like, you don't even know. I know what it is, but Byron doesn't even know what it is. It's just rare weirdness.
I went through rare weirdness.
You went through rare weirdness with the... Yes, rare weirdness was
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mrs. Saunders.
Rare
weirdness.
It's just weird audio things.
And, well, but this is, all the sound is from the $6 Million Man, which, you know, I, of course, as a kid, loved this show. But what's interesting is that a lot of the music was composed, and again, I only knew this because I would pay attention, by Oliver Nelson. And I didn't realize till much later on in life that Oliver Nelson was a famous jazz musician, a jazz arranger, and he was a black man. I did not know. And I loved all this music from the $6 Million Man. It was very jazzy, funky. I had no idea, Oliver Nelson. So there it is. Did you know this, Lewis? You didn't know this.
No, I didn't know that at all.
There it is, exactly.
Very good.
It makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Excellent.
Did he do all the other stuff, like Police Woman?
That was just the time. That was the time. The $6 Million Man stuff. I mean, the theme is what it is. And again, that's Oliver Nelson. But, you know, when you listen to the show, listen how much bass and stuff is in.
Thank you.
a very like 70s Charlie's Angels. Yeah. But, you know, there it is, Byron. There it is. Mr. Guess, you have a story.
Yeah, I do. And I just really enjoyed the first paragraph of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, melting glaciers aren't just causing sea levels to rise. They're causing the ocean floor to sink. This is from BGR.com. I haven't heard of it. But in any case, as the Earth's largest chunks of ice continue to get smaller and smaller, sea levels have risen. All that melting ice has to go somewhere, so it seeps into the oceans, beaches, and shorelines. As it seeps into the oceans, beaches, and shorelines, are feeling... as it seeps into the oceans, beaches and shorelines are feeling the pinch. Sorry, that took a minute. However, a new study on the effects of glacial melting has revealed another unexpected consequence of ice mass loss. As it turns out, the ever-increasing mass of water is actually pushing the ocean floor down, down,
pushing
down,
the ocean down, floor down,
down, down, down. The study, which was published in Geophysical Research Letters, focuses on the redistribution of mass from melted glaciers on a global scale. The findings suggest that not only is the seafloor being pushed down and deformed, but also that its movement...
Pushed down and deformed.
Its movement is going to make it even more difficult to predict and monitor the changes in sea level as climate change marches on. Interesting, the movement of the seafloor being pushed down as if the seafloor itself is a wave.
It's fascinating.
Why does that just kind of make sense to me right now? Researchers have long known that as the oceans get heavier, the seafloor would be put under increased pressure, but no study had ever attempted to figure out how much deformation was actually occurring. The latest data, which was gathered from ocean sensors as well as satellite measurements, points to an average lowering of the seafloor by roughly 0.1 millimeter per year since 1993. So how many fractions of a millimeter are we at? That's like a fifth of a millimeter. Between 1993 and 2014, the weight of the oceans pushed the seafloor down, by 2.1 millimeters. That's 2 millimeters.
That's a lot of millimeters.
And it sounds like an incredibly small amount, not to me.
The Earth is compacting.
But only until Byron, you remember.
The Earth is compacting, Byron. You didn't even know.
2 millimeters.
Byron,
damn.
The ocean floor is
that,
sinking.
Is that a word? Damn is,
Byron,
is good, right?
You had no idea.
Music?
Okay, I'm going to postulate something.
Postulate, Byron.
Yes. What most people fail to realize is that the environmental changes that we are definitely going through have a lot to do with climate change. But remember this. The ice that's cracking and melting.
The ice is going to break.
No, it's the ocean floor.
It's the ocean floor.
2.1 millimeters around
and
the entire
only partially
ocean floor and of the Earth.
And remember, it takes from the bottom to heat the iceberg.
You mean the molten
ice.
Lava core?
We're talking about the floor of the ocean, Byron.
You're asking
it's still
for
the mantle.
Byron, listen.
You're asking
we should
for
listen
how
to Byron. He knows all.
you have to understand how the seas are going to rise, because they're melting from the core, not from the outside. Yes, climate change.
But they're not rising, they're lowering.
Well, everything's going to sink a little bit. But
because it's lowering.
Well, the seas are rising.
It's lowering from below.
Yes, the seas are rising and the floor is lowering by it at the same time.
Does that
but the heat is coming from below, not from above.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Is that what you're
the
to
heat
say?
Is coming from below,
Lewis,
and not from above.
Were you aware of any of this? Did you know the ocean floor was sinking?
This is wild.
It's the first time I'm here.
Wait, think of it. Let her finish. Let her finish. Go
drop
ahead.
Drop an ice cube in a boiling water, and where does it melt from? The top or the bottom?
You know, I'm going to try that when I get home.
Thank you.
The pot is sinking.
Simple finish your story.
So the 2.1 millimeters worldwide sounds like an incredibly small amount, but only until you remember that this is happening on a global scale. It's not just the waters off your favorite Florida beach or Caribbean resort. This is the entire ocean we're talking about here. All 130 plus million square miles of it. It's a seemingly measly...
Radioactive.
Yeah, don't forget that part. A seemingly measly 2.1 millimeters is actually an incredible, potentially devastating change. Findings, as interesting as they are on their own, point to an even larger problem that we might be dealing with before long. As the oceans get heavier and continue to push down on the seafloor, it's not just the oceans, it's also gravity. Pushing down on the seafloor, tracking and measuring changes in sea level as it relates to coastal communities could become increasingly difficult. Like the sea level measurements, coastal communities' prediction of damages, of, you know, be cautious or, you know, stay where you are. I don't know, that's my interpretation. Uncharted waters,
be
no
cautious
pun intended.
Or stay where you are.
When it comes to predicting what the oceans will do under increasingly warm climates, and scientists now have yet another thing to keep an eye on, and it covers the entirety of the Earth's ocean floor, because that's what it is that they're keeping an eye on. Wow. I don't know, that just strikes me as sort of...
Mind-blowing.
I like the, where does the ice cube melt, and... You know, how does the ice cube freeze? You know, when it freezes, it expands.
Well, Byron does this in his course.
When it melts, it kind of, the area, the height, it's more spread because something. But anyway, aside from lattice structures, you know, this is just, you know, surface area alone is really, really fascinating.
It's pretty fascinating.
Well, what would Shatner say in response to...
Spock! Analysis. That's what he would say.
But wouldn't parts of land just start to break off?
Wouldn't what Barcelona?
Parts
of land start to break off if what?
If the ocean floor, if it starts to get lower and lower, like, wouldn't that, like, deform
erosion.
Whatever's holding us together, so we'll just start, like...
Hello.
Coastline erosion.
Yeah, hello, yes. That is why we're covering it here on the show.
Right,
we predict...
We're telling you, get out now.
...and disaster. The world is shrinking, you will die. And you're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBA. Donate now because you won't need it. You'll be gone.
Don't worry, Oprah will figure it out.
That's right. That's why we need
Oprah. We figure it out.
We need Oprah more than ever.
To the rescue.
Exactly.
To the rescue.
We need Oprah more than ever now. The ocean floors are sinking.
That's what I'm talking about, the sideline assassins.
We need Oprah.
Why are you going to go after Oprah? Why are y'all going to set my sister
that's
up?
That's right,
because like
she needs to figure out how to
stop.
That's
not what I'm talking about. See, now you understand.
And floor from sinking.
No, I'm not going to let you go after sister Oprah.
You know,
like that.
The oceans are rising.
No, we're gone.
The floor of the oceans are sinking.
No.
That's why I bought 1 mile inland.
No.
I'm the new beach
is fan. Rising.
Vote for me.
No, this score is amazing. You know who this is? You know, you'll never guess who this is. Chris Griffin would know who this is.
Oh, my goodness. Who
know,
is
all right. First of all, Louis?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about movie soundtracks?
Nope. I mean, I know them when I hear them, but I don't know, like, who composed them and all that stuff.
This is John Williams.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Which
movie? Memoirs of a Geisha. It's a fantastic score. Just listen to this part here. Close your eyes and listen to this.
It's a great, great book and movie.
Yo-Yo Ma playing on the soundtrack.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Wasn't that amazing?
It was amazing.
Yes. This is also from Memoirs of a Geisha, but I'll let you read this story to that. This is, again, life is like science fiction. Louis?
Yep.
Let me ask you a question. First of all, how old are you?
I'm 41.
41. So what's your main social media?
Twitter.
Twitter. Got you. All right. And what did it used to be?
It used to be MySpace.
Wow, you went from MySpace to Twitter.
Yeah, I never got into the Facebook thing. I just couldn't.
Got you.
I can't wrap my brain around it.
Got you. Well, it's an annoying thing. So you got Twitter, and how often do you tweet?
Oh, all the time. I live tweet.
I mean, live tweet
shows. Yeah, I'm doing all that stuff.
Are you live tweeting during the show, or are we live tweeting now?
No. I'm talking about, like, television shows. Oh. But yeah, I would live tweet your show, but you guys are not active on Twitter.
Oh, we are. We're on Twitter. We're not.
I know. Yeah, I follow you.
All right. You say we should be more active. Should we live?
Oh, yeah. You should definitely be more active.
Should we live tweet during the show? We'll have the mystery guest. She'll be the live tweeter.
It ain't much going on in the Facebook. You guys got to get up on that social media.
All right. You know what, Byron?
Psychoactivity.
Byron. Well, but this post, at least one post a day, we got something on the social
media.
Get on up. On the Facebook? Or you don't go on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I don't go on Facebook.
All right, we got to start.
I don't see you on Twitter that much.
All right. We got to start tweeting, Byron. Write that down.
I had a question for you too before.
Tweet.
All right, wait. What's your question?
Where can I go to hear your Star Wars: The Last Jedi show?
That would be go to Life is Like Science Fiction. We did it. As a matter of fact, we're going to do a longer. I did a review when it first came out, but we're going to do actually probably next week. Going to do an in depth Star Wars review. And now that everybody's seen it,
I was there with you.
Great.
Yeah, you were there for that. So yes, we definitely.
I enjoyed it.
We did it. And we're going to do more. But if you go to Life is Like Science Fiction. .com and you go back to the show.
Your show for Force Awakens was really good.
Oh, really? You remember the Force Awakens show?
I remember that.
Yes. All right.
Well, what's the title of it? Like, what date should I be looking for?
Probably just whatever week it came out, that's when we did it.
All right, gotcha.
The week it came out, whatever week it came out. And I think it was just before a marathon. Or might have even done it in the marathon. Byron's honors.
Mike Sargent.
Do you have a story, Byron?
I do indeed.
Isn't this a great piece of music, Mr. Guest?
Oh, it's not bad.
It's not bad, okay. All right, Mystery Byron.
Sex tweets. That's right.
Sex tweets. That's a good name for a man.
Help track spread the sex of tweets. Sexually transmitted infections.
Wait, what?
You heard me right.
It's the Matrix.
Explain this.
Sex tweets. You in bed sex tweeting. And help track spread of your sexually transmitted infections.
Wait, sex this tweets Twitter help track the spread?
That's right.
Sex tweets. People are tweeting about...
Just
okay, all right. Read this article, because I need to know what the heck tweeted. You're talking about. What the hell are you talking about?
All right. Don't get mad
What are you talking about, Willis?
All right. A lot of sexual tweets
in your area. Hey, local syphilis rates.
Tweets in your area.
Local, very.
Local syphilis.
Wait, wait. Sex tweets in your area. Wow. Okay. I want to hear the whole correlation here. Go ahead. In your
area. Local syphilis rates.
Local. Is that a thing?
Could be.
Local syphilis rates. Yes.
Could be on the rise.
You know, our local syphilis rates are pretty low.
They're on the rise down here.
Move to our area. Local syphilis rates. An all-time low.
It seems that
it's cold.
It seems that oversharing on social media may be annoying, but
wait, people text. Oh, got a STD. Hashtag got a STD.
Yes. Hashtag
Stop.
Oversharing on my body.
Stop.
But it could.
Hashtag herpes infection.
It could predict
H warts
outbreak of sexually transmitted disease.
Who? Wait.
Well, they're doing what you just saying. Once it hits the internet, your storyline is over.
No, listen, this is beyond oversharing. Please read the story because I need to understand what human beings are doing.
See, Sean Young at the University of California, Los Angeles, and his colleagues analyzed tweets posted in 2012. They narrowed down millions of posts to 8,538 tweets that could be geolocated to United States counties and included keywords such as sex or suck used in a sexual context.
Wait, people who say suck have a disease?
No. You heard it exactly as I said it.
I'm trying to correlate.
Are they aware of the bots on there? Because there's a lot of sex bots on Twitter.
See, thank you.
Yeah, but
areas where sexual tweets were posted saw a 2.7% increase in syphilis rates the following year.
Damn, more sex bots.
I think it's
sex bots equals syphilis.
One way to predict an increase in syphilis rates is to look at the current number of cases. For example,
what? In your local area,
each county
local syphilis rates are down.
Like the whole map thing.
Each county that Move had a now. Higher rate than average number of cases in 2012 saw a 0.6% increase
your LSR?
The following year.
Just GPS yourself to find out. If you got syphilis.
GPS, your LSR.
Wow.
All right, now, please, don't scan through this. I want to know all the details.
That
local syphilis
it.
Rate. That was it.
If you just hanging.
They like, what? What?
Where is this happening?
This is happening around the world.
In your local area.
This is all research for an app called Syphilis Spot. And all the syphilis hotspots.
This is a new scientist. Where is this? January 8th, 2018. Yeah. From the Daily
exactly.
News.
Exactly. January 8th.
Daily News. It's Rupert.
Everybody picked it up.
Yeah,
it's there. Come on.
Everybody picked it up.
Come on.
City takes on serious subject matters.
You're mind blown yet, Byron?
Okay.
Your mind is blown.
I'm not touching your thing.
Well, you better let me text. I'm going to text suck to you, and then you'll know.
Stop it.
Mystery guest, any thoughts on this whole story here?
Just make do with blowing your mind and you'll be fine.
Well, you see, blowing, that lets me know right away that you're part of the LSR. Byron?
What is LSR again?
The low syphilis rate.
It's fine. We're going county by county.
Well, yeah, it is, you know.
It's a Tuskegee
experiment.
That's
disturbing, you know. It's disturbing because it's, you know, highly contagious and you know, who can avoid.
Alright, mystery guest has some interesting information for us here, and you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI. We're only 2 hours into the show and there's another hour to go, really another 57 minutes. We've compressed time and we've covered quite a bit of ground. We've talked about Oprah being president. We've talked about
we're also thrilled.
We're all what?
Yes.
We're all so happy.
Happy.
She's
happy.
President.
And happy. Happy.
And peppy.
Yes.
And bursting with love.
Yes.
We're so excited about this.
Yes. We're so. You sound excited. You sound like Willy Wonka excited. All right, Mr.
No,
Guest, talk to us.
just sort of fantasizing that it's reality.
Well, it is reality. It could be reality. It was a fantasy to think that Trump would be president. Like, if you could close your eyes now and then wake up and go, oh, my God, I had this long-ass dream where for like a year Trump was president.
Yes, if I had a dream.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a difference between a fantasy and a nightmare.
That's right. It's a twist on the whole thing.
Okay.
I had a dream. Oprah was president. Byron's like, well, I had a dream. Oprah was vice president.
Yeah, right? And then the dancers came in.
I'll vote.
All right, let
that.
Mystery guests go.
How to master your habits and take control of your life. Habits rule our daily lives, but understanding how they become ingrained in the brain could help you nail the habits
ingrained
you want to keep
brain.
And drop the ones you don't. I'm staring down at my fingers on the keyboard with some shame and disappointment. I expected them to look different by now. When I set out to write about habits, I vowed to break one of my own, biting my nails. The gnawed tips remind me what everyone knows.
Anybody that calls their fingers gnawed tips?
Old habits die hard.
They got a problem.
Just what habits are so hard to make and break is a long-standing mystery. Even so, the prospect of mastering our habits has such appeal that plenty of theories about them have evolved. Accepted wisdom suggests, for instance, that it takes 21 days to form a new habit or get rid of an old one. 21 days. Unfortunately, there's little by way of evidence to back up such notions.
Hey, there's a book that's called 21 Days to Change, or something like that.
Yep.
That backs that up.
Evidence to back up such notions, but that is starting to change. With advances in neuroscience, it is now possible to peer inside the brain as it goes about its business, which means for the first time, we are... Spock. Where's the rest of the story? Hello. So yeah, bad habits, new habits, old habits.
Bad habit of not subscribing.
21 days, huh?
21 days, Martin.
Wow.
I wish I would have kept record of, I stopped myself from biting my nails.
Oh, yeah?
A long time ago.
Huh, someone slap you in the face?
I don't know how many days it took, but...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But now I have, like, no desire to bite my nails.
Good for you.
Did you have to paint, like, acid
on
them?
Yeah, I wrapped tape.
Tape?
Around my fingers.
Wow.
Wait, for what?
How long did you wrap tape around your fingers?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I think I was maybe 19 or 18 when I tried this.
Oh, wow.
And it only took, like...
And what... Wait, here's my question. The tape is a nice solution, but what... made you finally say, you know what, I'm tired, I don't want to have ET fingers?
What happened was I used to bite my nails. I used to bite them down so deep that, like, the skin on my, I don't know whether you would tell you about that, but the skin around your finger, like, it just started to peel up. And that hurt like hell. Like, it would
so
burn,
in other words,
it would sting, and I just got,
you,
I just
you got
tired.
You got tired of your fingers being in pain because of a bad, because of a bad habit. I understand. That's really the secret to change. You get tired of the pain of a bad habit.
Yeah, wow. That's deep.
Get tired of the pain of a bad habit.
No, I've had to move seats, like, in a movie theater because I've been sitting next to someone who's biting their nails.
Bad.
It's not like, you know, like, hey, I'll take a cymbal, little like brush stroke on a hi-hat.
That's
instead of that.
Bad.
During a movie. Wow. Oh.
Bad.
Is that good for your teeth, though?
never did anything to my teeth.
Exactly. He's like, he's got fangs.
I got so good at it that, like, it looked like I was just clipping my nails. That's how good I was at just biting them off.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Clipping is nice, you know. Clipping is a good
nasty,
alternative.
Just so you know, that's
do
nasty.
You clip your own nails?
You was
today?
A nasty guy.
Let's
he
talk about habits.
I was a nasty young man.
Let's talk about self care for a minute. Do you clip your own nails?
Yeah, I clip.
Well, that shows character.
Well, that's a growth there. He's 41.
I don't file them though. Like files, they bother me. Like I'm one of those people that I can't stand somebody running their nails across a blackboard.
Mm.
I don't use a nail file.
Mm. Oh, okay. It doesn't sound the same, but yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
program.
I can understand. DGM has a way of doing that too.
So, Louis, did you recognize any of that music? Do you know any of it?
No, none of it. It was good music, but I didn't recognize it.
That's part of the score, not what you're listening to. This is from Heroes, which is, interestingly enough, the score for Heroes, this is from first season, was by Wendy and Lisa, who formerly, if you're a Prince fan, you know who Wendy and Lisa is.
But they used to watch that show, too.
Yeah, and they do film and television scores now. I interviewed them for this, and it's a great score. This is part of the Hero theme in Heroes.
And now I can hear it, now that you say it.
What were you going to say, Byron?
Arsonist falcons suggest birds discovered fire before humans did. This is Daily News.
Birds discovered fire.
Yes, January 5th, 2018. Some birds of prey have learned to control fire, a skill previously thought to...
When you say birds of prey, you don't mean the Klingon.
No. Some birds of prey have learned to control fire, a skill previously thought to be unique to humans. You see, the birds appear to deliberately spread wildfires in order to flush out prey.
Wow.
What birds are these?
The finding suggests that birds may have beaten us to the use of fire. Hold on, this is interesting.
Yes.
There are many anecdotes about Australian birds of prey using fire, according to ornithologist at Bob Gosford at the Central Lands Council in Alice Springs, Northern Territory.
Bob Gosford, you say?
Most come from Aboriginal rangers who manage natural fires in the North Australian tropical savanna.
Aboriginal rangers.
Which straddles Queensland, the Northern Territory, and Western Australia. You see, the three species mentioned are black kites, whistling kites, and brown falcons. These are the names of the birds.
Don't even stop laughing, Louis. Whistling kites.
Yeah, they're from three different tribes of birds. There.
Interesting.
Do they send their chief whistler to have negotiations at
chief
the table?
Chief Whistler, exactly. That's his title too. Chief Whistler. That's the name. That's like the rapper.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Chief Whistler. Come,
that's right. They're negotiating. You have to understand what they're saying.
And he can whistle like in time to rap, like
right.
Like it's a bird rap. Chief Whistler with the bird rap. All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think if they can tell you that there's a fire coming, I think we ought to pay attention.
There's a what?
If there's a fire coming, we need to pay attention.
Exactly. It could be chief.
I don't care what you say.
Firebird.
Somebody better give me a dictionary to just tell me what that falcon just got through saying.
Does this mean that the dinosaurs?
He's saying a fire is on the way. Well, y'all better start running.
Exactly.
Now, which union of falcons do they come with? There's three different types.
Were once
birds. Louis, there's three different types of falcons. So
birds were once dinosaurs.
I was going to ask if that's where maybe the legend of the phoenix came from. But
right. Y'all should see.
That's right.
Okay. That's it. That's all the story. There's nothing else to that story.
What more needs to be said?
I would
say. What more needs to be said? There it is.
Okay, here we are. Ninth day of the year. Have we messed up yet?
Well,
we have 364 more.
Exactly. He's whistling. It's like 41.
And we messed up yet. Because yes. I want to make sure.
You said bird, I must whistle.
Lewis, Lewis, it might be a long way to next year if this is the way it starts.
By the way, the mystery guest is whistling too, so she's obviously
Lewis,
in the
you're
same
a great
class.
Whistler. I'm
same
here.
Class
I'm
you are in.
Oh, watch
you
out,
are
people.
Live.
Exactly.
Night shift.
Whistling. Wow.
Nice. Whistling.
It's my favorite
night
show.
Bird. Whistling. This is wishing the weather were warmer music. That's what this is.
Yes.
This is if you're in one of those apartments where you got a 93 degrees inside your bedroom.
Exactly.
Crack the window. Pump this up.
Yes.
Did you see Saturday morning the East River was like completely frozen?
No, but I've seen that before.
Yeah, I've seen icebergs in the river, but I've never seen it completely frozen to where it looks like you can ice skate on it.
Well, I've seen the West River, the Hudson. I've seen the Hudson.
Like penguins that.
Were
there.
Wow.
It's a very amazing visual, whichever way.
Did you go out there? Did you go? Did you go skating?
Oh, I would never.
I told a friend of mine I wasn't. No he actually way. Believed me.
You went. Ethy believed you.
Yeah.
I see. You surround yourself with Jesus.
Like you talking to the guy
the wind chill was said Saturday was
yeah, the
minus
wind chill
below
was,
one
was yeah the
okay,
wind
so
chill I can tell you what the wind chill was.
You were out there.
It was GTFO H.
Okay.
That's the wind chill. So yeah, that's yes. my take on it. Byron Saunders,
Mike.
I do have a story for the mystery guest that right. I think she will find.
Can I whistle it?
Yes, please.
Lewis, you're gonna be here.
Yep.
Lewis is gonna be here. He's here to the. Bitter
I'm here until you open up the airlock.
Exactly.
Airlock.
That's how Byron.
All right.
Is disposed of.
That's you, what he calls the top of the
that's
beak.
How we dispose of Byron.
They always give me those exit scenes.
Airlock.
I want my. Where's my agent? I've
you
been
know,
typecast.
You chose the death scene. You I've have good death scene.
No.
Like, oh, get me Byron Saunders. We need a good death throttle. Get Byron.
What?
Byron has had death. He's had death on stage. You had death scenes on stage. I witnessed
really?
One.
Yes. Wow.
Yes. I've seen Byron die on stage. Yes, I have.
How'd you do it, man?
All right. Well, is he going to give way
with dignity? With dignity. He'll tell you. Was it with dignity?
Of course. Listen,
and I mean, it was pathos. You were feeling it because I was feeling it.
Yes, Byron was feeling it. Let me
I'm
tell you,
I'm the best actor was, you've never seen.
I'm telling you, Byron Saunders. Yeah.
You heard of Clark Gable?
Yes.
My name is Dark Gable.
Dark Gable. There it is.
Well, yeah, I'm not really a fan of his work though. Well, so.
A bark Dark Gable. That's because you're
well, frankly, my dear, I don't.
You
do
haven't
it.
Seen Dark Gable.
To quote
Frankie.
Go with, yeah, Frankie.
Girl.
Yeah, quote from Gone with the Wind, Clark Gable. Anyway.
My dear, frankly.
Let's 226.
And the phone number here still is 347.
Lewis, we're going to take one call at a time.
All right, man.
But I've totally enjoyed you being here. And how long have you been listening to the show?
Since 95.
Wow.
I actually started calling around this time in 95.
Wow. And like, what
amazing.
Did you, like how did you discover us? What was it that brought you in?
Oh, I told this story before. You actually, believe it or not, you're talking about politics. And it was, I guess it was going to be an election that year, or
was
we just got out of an election. And I was calling to say that I didn't believe in voting and that the Electoral College needs to go away and all that stuff.
And I do remember you actually telling us this maybe about 10 years ago. So, yes, wow. Okay, so you're in year 22 or something like that.
Did Night Shift
23.
Change your mind
it's a little
about
disturbing.
Voting?
So, of course. He's a, yeah,
so it's always fun to get on the shuttlecraft, man.
I understand. And what is it that you do now in waking life that you can be up this late?
I still work at Best Buy.
Oh, what do you, are you like, do you run the store now?
No.
It's like you still have best buddies.
Well, it's still 20 years later. Best buys.
That's a number of
buy,
that's right.
It's called Lewis Buy.
He's helping out.
Exactly. A buy from Lewis.
Yeah, we are right here. It's good.
Open up the airlock.
Exactly. Come on. There it is. Yeah. Come on, airlock sale. All right. Best deals in the galaxy. All right, well, thank you, Lewis, for listening.
I will be listening to you guys go up the air. So.
All right.
One time.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, God try bless. To tweet more, please.
All right. We'll tweet. All Brian right. will be tweeting tomorrow.
Tweet.
Tomorrow.
Tweet. Well, he's going to do his impression of, you know, Professor Firebird.
Tweet. All right.
Peace.
Byron, what's the phone number here?
347-335-0818.
Yes, if you could tell us what you think. If you know, what do you think of Oprah running for president? What's your concept on that? What's your thought on that? 347-335-0818. Mr. Geff, you had a spiritual story for us.
Yeah, I did.
What happened? Give it back.
Oh, wait, no, I got
it. You found it.
Huh. Where'd it come from? It came from the internet. HuffingtonPost.com. Weird news. Cross mysteriously appears on rabbit's forehead. hair is risen. That's one hot cross bunny. A rabbit in Cornwall, UK, had something happen to it that is truly hair-raising. A few days before Christmas, Kate Hazel says a cross suddenly appeared on the forehead of her pet rabbit, Fluff. Changed his name to Fluff Cross. It was just really bizarre. We went out there one day to feed her, and my daughter Rosa said, "Mum, Mum, Fluff's turning into the baby Jesus."
Fluff's turning into the baby...
That's a stretch of the imagination.
That's a stretch, like, wow. And how old is his daughter?
Unnamed, as far as...
And so baby Jesus could be anything with a cross on its head.
It was really bizarre. We went out there one day to feed her, and my daughter Rosa said, "Mum, Mum, Fluff's turning into the baby Jesus." Hazel told CornwallLive.com. And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "She's grown the cross right in the middle of her forehead." And I had a look, and it was really pronounced. Like someone just came and shaved a cross into a rabbit's head, but, you know, it could have been anything or a natural occurrence.
How did this make the news?
Yeah, it's...
This Huffington Post?
Yeah.
Byron, any thoughts on this? Yeah, you think there's any biblical...
I mean, like, they didn't have anything, so they found a bunny, shaved a cross in its head, took a picture, said it happened in England.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean...
That could be an interesting made-up story. That's
although good. Hazel Jones...
It's like, you gotta come up with something.
Yeah, it's like kind of silly.
I gotta turn the story in.
Yeah, it's all kind of like written in like pun on words.
Right.
So it's really exciting if you're great at voice announcement type stuff like you are.
Like me?
Yeah.
Like me?
Yeah, like you'd be like...
Like me?
Yeah, like you... Yeah, like me? Yeah.
Like me?
That's one hot cross bunny. And you gotta see the picture, though. It's basically, I mean, this happened to me when I lived in the East Village. The neighborhood squirrels.
You put crosses on their heads?
No, they'd come back with crew cuts after like a night out or something.
So wait a minute, let me get this right. Some go in and get crew cuts, and some go in and get crosses
that's
on
right.
their forehead.
That's right. It's like a style,
hold
a trend.
On. Yeah, everybody just got mohawks.
Bunny no, hawks, I mean it's weird. I mean it could point out to like a someone who like would potentially harm animals. You know, so that's kind of scary. You know, because they kept their rabbit outdoors. You know, they go child checks on the rabbit with her mum, and the rabbit is found to have a cross, like, you know, thin as a Latino mustache.
Shaved as
into
a Latino mustache.
The forehead of the bunny.
Thin as a Latino mustache.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
What's up, Night Shift?
What's going on? Who is this? What's your name?
Kenny from the Bronx.
Kenny from the Boogie Down.
Boogie Down.
Right. So what's your thought? Do you think Oprah, what do you think it's a good idea? You think Oprah should run and would she be good?
You know what? I never heard Byron stutter so much. He sound like Foghorn Leghorn. I think, you know? And he's on point with everything.
It's Foghorn Leghorn.
There you have it.
I'm going to call you that from now on.
From now on, my new moniker, yes.
Foghorn Leghorn.
No, but
I said boy.
You know, I kind of agree with Byron. I think that,
You agree with Foghorn over here?
Yeah, I think Foghorn. I tell you that boy's about as sharp as a piece of wood liver. I tell you.
There it is. I agree with Foghorn. I would Foghorn.
No, vote
Byron.
But you kept asking him what do he think, and he was thinking about what happened to her, and he wasn't safe. But I know what he means.
Of course.
The power that be would, you know, do her in. But this is the problem. If he came from the 60s, the civil rights era, this is the problem. Why no one ever protects these people that are trying to protect you? See, that's the problem. If she wants to be an orphan, we would have to protect her, really protect her.
Really protect her. That was my point of saying it, because I want to make sure nothing happens to my
Exactly. I got you, Byron. I got you.
Okay.
I definitely got you. But, and then, Byron, you said, you considered to be Clark Gable. You know Clark Gable is black, though, right?
I do know that. All praise to his heritage, his grandmother. I know his story. And yes, and he did things in the civil rights movement that were really very, I think, you know, because of his capacity to cross over and not have to deal with that, allowed him to do more work. And so he got to be the quintessential bad guy.
Or
the prototype of the.
And that's back then. Linda Carter had to do it in her time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a very interesting genre of Southern Gothic style of writing, filmmaking.
What are we talking about?
Gone with the Wind.
Oh, Gone with the Wind. How did we get to Gone with the Wind?
Clark Gable.
One more thing. Byron, you said, I forgot how you put it. You said you'd rather be a king setter or king getter?
Kingmaker, queenmaker.
But that's the problem with the black woman. That's all they've been doing with making
king. I understand.
And getting nothing for it.
All right. So we changed the queen maker.
So she gets to determine what side of that is on. My thing is, if there are no other candidates as capable of being vice president than Oprah,
other than your top five,
so let's cut it to the quick. So
we understand how far.
No, it's got to go. Here it is. Basically, it's
the
top.
Warren Oprah ticket.
It's top three because for whoever you
pick. Actually, it'd be Warren Winfrey.
It's one of the top three.
Sounds like a white man.
Do you ever watch Key and Peele?
Key and Peele.
Yeah, the comedy. Jordan.
I mean, I know who they are, and I've never watched it now.
Oh my God! They got this segment where Jordan Peele, he acts like Barack, right? And you know how they talk with these big words and everything, and Keegan, he jumps up and gives you the the low down, like, man, I kicked your ass, and you know everything he's saying, like Barack is too cool to say it, so he's a He tells you exactly what he's thinking, you know, to where he has to calm him down. Like, calm down, you know.
I would like to see the GOP and the Democratic Party do a bipartisan thing that would be so magnificent it would blow everybody's mind. They should both admit that they should let Oprah be the vice president. For anybody else, the top three, they could be
Oprah for vice president.
Both the Democratic Party and the GOP decide that they're going okay. Oprah can be the vice president.
Okay for anybody.
That's right. So the next
vice
two
president for life, though. She's vice president
for
life.
The next 8 years.
She's right there.
For the next
no matter
eight
who
years.
You are,
so
there's Oprah.
If the world
vice
wants,
president for
if the
life.
World wants, if the world
she's
wants,
she's gonna work with any of you who steps into the ring.
That's it.
She's gonna hang out.
There you go.
Draft
so listen,
speeches.
How about this? If she's in any kind of office, she should be president. But you know who should be vice president?
Who?
Kanye West.
Who?
Kanye West
is vice president. Oh, you're going a whole other thing now.
No.
That's right. Will Smith's Secretary of State.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm with you now. Yeah, we'll get to...
Wait a minute, who is he? Which one is he? Brother Love?
That's right. Think about who would be the first lady, though. Think about that. You got to let that concept sink in.
Who would be the first lady?
Well, who's married to Kanye?
Let me think.
Anyway, stop yourself.
I can't go there.
Stop yourself. Just go back to where...
I can't go there.
Go back. All right, listen.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, another thing, Sarge. So you said the composer for $6 Million Man was a black guy, right?
Oliver Nelson.
Okay, so you know back then, tell me some shows of the music that you didn't like. I bet you couldn't do that.
That I did not like.
That you did not like. You didn't.
Well,
you
I mean, you know, obviously, I liked whatever I was watching, so I was
right.
With it.
But that's what I'm saying. But like, it was all good. Like all the shows are pretty good. Even like Mannix had that nice.
Yes, it did. Well, you know, it's interesting because TV, a lot of TV themes had a lot of jazz influence at that time.
Right. Okay.
You know, and that lasted a long time. Jazz was really, you know, especially cop shows and, you know, I think part of the template of that, honestly, was Dirty Harry with Lalo Schifrin.
Right.
You know, that was 71. Yeah. But I think as we ushered in the era of cop dramas and whatnot and got away from the 60s, the dragnets and that kind of thing.
Because like, even at Starsky and Hutch.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
As a matter of fact,
I'll do you one cop.
I'll do you one better. I know you like the music from Dukes of Hazzard.
No, I never watched that show. I never watched that show.
Hillbilly Magic.
That's like, what the hell?
What about the Beverly Hillbillies?
Hillbilly Magic.
I mean,
music.
You know, when I was.
I started reruns
when I was a kid. I mean, you know.
From the hills of West Virginia.
Like a wash.
Byron, don't get Byron going about Beverly Hillbillies. He had a crush on Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae?
What was her name?
Ellie Mae?
No, not Ellie Mae. So he's my granny. Your granny?
He had a crush on Granny. No, he had a crush on. Who's Jeffro's sister?
Ellie Mae.
Was it Ellie Mae? Sally Mae? Whatever. There it is. He had a crush on Granny. As a young man.
Okay.
Yeah, this is some cop show.
I know it's almost time to go home.
All right, yeah, it is almost time to go home. We're going to take a couple calls. But listen, thank you for calling. And how long have you been listening to the show?
Yes.
For a couple of years, man. Why you keep asking the same question?
I do, because I want to know. I need to know.
You got to write these things down, man, because we are regular callers.
Oh, are you a regular caller? We haven't taken calls in like 5 years. No.
Okay. You've been taking, as a matter of fact, I told you I was going to call them. I was going to pledge.
Yes, you did.
And never received my BGMs.
You didn't? Wait, for which one? For which?
I don't even know.
All right, listen, email me and with your receipt number.
I did that before. It's all right.
You didn't get anything?
Is this Louis? It's here for you. Pick it up.
I'm going to look. What's your name?
Kenny.
Kenny
from the Bronx.
Kenny, and you said you emailed. You emailed me, or did you Facebook us?
I emailed you. I emailed you because before you were telling me email you for another one. I was asking you about the 16. I think it was the winter mix or the fall mix. I'm not sure.
What's the first three letters of your email? Because I'm gonna find you right now. If you email me, it'll be in there.
KST.
That's the first three letters?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll find you, and I will send you get it all digitally.
All right. Well, you know, I'll be calling you next week and let you know.
You better let me know. All right, I'm looking now.
And Byron, stay away from the likes of Granny and stuff like that.
Thank you for the warning.
She sounds different, but
Jason,
you know, that's okay. When I smell, she'd be all right.
What? I'm gonna be on the ocean floor, just chilling.
Remember, the ice melts from the inside underneath.
That's why it's best to position yourself on the outer rim of the ice cube. So you can enjoy.
The ice will melt.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Have a good morning.
You too, man.
You too.
Peace out.
Morning.
Mr. Guest, you know what the phone number here is?
Oh, the 347-335-08 blah, blah.
0818. That's right.
So it's 347-335-0818.
Yes, and we can still take a call. I have a story for Byron, but we can still take a call. Are you here, Byron?
I am here. Thank you. Good show this evening.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, who is we're this? Trying to. Who's calling?
My name is Reggie.
Reggie. Where you from, Reggie?
Yeah, I ain't dumb.
All right, Reggie, you got to get something happening with your phone there, babe. I can barely hear you.
Where you from, Reggie?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I think I can hear you. Go ahead.
Sounds like he's got a fishbowl on his head. All right, so Reggie, keep talking. And how long have you been listening to the show, Reggie?
What'd you say?
How long have you been listening to the show?
Man, I go way back to the 90s.
Oh, So Knapp.
I love
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we've spoken a few times. I've called. We met. We met down on 120 Water Street.
Stop. That, you mean
when the office
Wall Street,
was down there?
Wall Street, Wall Street.
Wall Street, 120 Wall Street.
Oh, okay, okay, all right. All
when
right.
King Kong, you gave me tickets to see King Kong. What year was that?
That was going back for a minute.
That goes back.
That goes back, all right. No,
that was in the 2000s.
That was in the 2000s, yeah. That was a new King Kong remake.
Yeah.
All right, I do remember that. I do remember you came to the front desk there.
Yeah, okay, so you're... All right.
I do, I remember. Right. You didn't know it was me that was going to be giving them to you.
At the front desk.
Yes.
I have right, some so, questions tickets. For you.
All right, what's the question? But now I have a
no,
question.
No, I answered the question to
win the
win
the tickets. I remember that.
That's cool. All right,
so but now I have a question for you. You don't win a thing, but what do you think about Oprah being president? What's your thought? Do you think it's a good idea?
No, I don't think she should do it. You know, I'm getting tired of... She's an entertainer. She's an entertainer. She has enough money to do great things, and you know. But I don't think she can be president. I really don't. And, you know, you were talking about Obama went from nowhere to president, but he was a senator first.
I didn't say he went from nowhere to president.
Yeah. No, somebody. Said
oh no, no. I said like, all right. I said meaning. No, when I say no mayor, is meaning that you never heard of him. It's not to say that he didn't have the credentials. No, so that's what I meant.
We did hear him as a senator. He was doing things as a senator.
He was
making a great speech. Yeah,
but not on. He was not known on a national level like a lot of other Democratic candidates at the time that he beat out.
You're right. You're
that's what I'm saying.
He was mostly Illinois.
Exactly. It was Chicago. So yeah,
Reagan was at least he was the governor first. Yeah. So he had experience. Oprah's an entertainer. What happens when we get into some conflict or something? She's gonna be strong enough to wage war.
Let me ask you this: like that. How would you compare her to who we have now?
She's gonna be strong enough like Obama to send some drones somewhere.
Is her hair gonna turn white?
Kill people.
Here's my question: Is she? What? Would she be a better, equal, or worse choice than what we have now?
Oh, but can't get worse.
Well,
we can only go up from here.
I understand.
She would do better than Trump because she lives. She would, like you say, she would pick good people around her, and you know, she'd have the learning curve. What do we got to go through while she's learning?
Well, that's. You know, let's put it this
way. I just think it's too complicated a job.
I think that, you know, just using the example of Obama, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Using the example of Obama, he was a very good politician. He had, like you said, he had won elections. He was a senator. He knew the political system. And when he got into office, he faced, as Byron said, an enormous amount of opposition. So, you know, that's there. Anyway, you know, the
what kind of opposition you think she would face?
I think
she would face worse than him.
Potentially, but here's the thing. I think the game has changed. I think the game has changed, and I think that if you can utilize what Donald Trump has done, if nothing else, besides obliterating reality, what he's done is he's used his influence on the people, his, you know, these rallies he has. It's ridiculous. He takes so many things about it, it's ridiculous. I won't even go into it, but what he does do is he uses his, you know, influence. He believes that he is the news, that he's in the news every day, and that's what it should be. And that's what it is to be president. You are the most written about person. And as a result, you know, again, we're aware of everything he does, every thought he has, and if we
give it to you,
well, but that's my point. And looking at that in that landscape, that's what we're used to now. Imagine if there were substance, credulence, plan, inspiration behind all of that. Imagine we had a president that was sending out inspirational quotes every day or just, you know, things that were, you know, life affirming, life changing. Imagine that. Imagine again, imagine how it would influence the way things are. You know, we live in a different world now. The world is different.
Yeah, we don't need life affirming every day. We got enough of that. Like Obama. Obama gave his speeches and he did his interviews, and that's it. We don't have to hear from you every day.
I agree with you 1,000%. Listen to me. I agree with you 1,000%.
If you're talking to me every day, you're not talking to other people you should be talking to.
Listen to me. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this is the environment we live in. So clearly less is more. I'm just saying.
No, well, we can. The environment changes, though. The environment. Trump brought that with him. When he goes, whatever he brought with him is pretty much going to go with him.
Who?
You know, I don't think I don't think presidents from now are going to use him as an example on what to do as president.
No, I think they'll use him as an example of what not to do. I think they'll use him as an example of what not to do.
Yeah, it's going to be what not to do. So any president from now on is going to be a totally different character, you know.
They'll be a different character. I think, you know, you look at the progression, you know, and there is a progression. There's a shift.
I mean, the progression is the dumbing down of America, period.
Let's put it this way. It definitely dumbing down, but how dumb was America to begin with? How complacent was America?
Well, Byron was talking about it earlier.
You know, if there's a significant apathy to voting, you know, a right that was fought for and you know, for women and people of color, you know, to just have that parity. Yet the deciding votes, you know, include whatever you want. The deciding votes are still a small percentage of the country. Those are the people who are voting.
Must participate.
And the thing is,
the
Oprah's going to be one.
I agree with you. Totally.
Oprah's going to be just like Obama. One person against 400 congressmen and 100 senators. There's not much,
right.
You know. That's why he couldn't do all the things that he should have been doing.
Sure, but look at how Trump is fighting what he's up against. It's not like Trump's just walking through and getting everything he wants. He's got a lot of opposition.
Because Trump is stupid. If Trump, everything is Republican. If he was a half-decent guy, he would be getting everything he wants. Everything the Republicans want, they would get because they control it all. He's not getting it because he's such a knucklehead.
Well, that's a whole other conversation, but I understand where you're coming from.
How can a Republican president not get what he wants when you have a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate?
And
thankfully, there are
because
people.
He's Trump.
No, I don't think it's just because he's Trump. I think you're giving too much power to him. I think, or power to his stupidity. I think there's power in what the people and the rest of the government and those who are not completely down with the governing body at the moment. You know, there is something to that. There is power there. There is something standing up, whether it's winning or not, or delaying or not. There is something standing up to what's going on. So,
well, they're standing up to him because, you know, a lot of them don't believe that he's up to the job. That's what we're talking about now. He might be insane.
For whatever reason,
but
they
imagine,
are.
But imagine if Trump was like, personality was anywhere near, you know, normal. I don't know how I could say normal, but even he would be. Everybody would love him. All the Republicans would do his bidding if he was that type of person. That's what they counted on.
Do you think he's mentally impaired?
To a certain extent, yes.
I think he is.
Would you have him undergo
his narcissism? Is on the line with, like, it crossed the line from where. It's a health, you know, everybody's a little bit narcissistic. But he's crossed the line to where it's clinical.
And what line would that be, the place where you would have to be established where everybody could accept it? Because at the point at which the 25th Amendment is one of the most difficult amendments to convict on.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm not
it implies
we're going to be able to use
the
that
vote,
to get rid of
them. But no, but listen here, hear me out. The vote is based on a percentage. And that percentage has to come a majority from the people who both live with him and who can assess him, the Senate and the Congress.
Now, you look at where the votes are. So this is really being very political and very strategical. However, the way
that... So you think they can get him on the 25th Amendment?
That's very difficult at this moment.
Maybe Oprah could get him on
that. I think that's a lot of...
That's a job for Oprah.
I think that's a lot of shade thrown up.
That's a job for Oprah.
Get him on your show.
That's a job for Oprah.
Bring him on for an hour.
She can do that while she's lifting the oceans.
As deflection so that... The ultimate.
Byron, yeah, we gotta go. Trump, we can listen. Both gentlemen. Yeah, the show is ending.
Gotta go.
The show is ending. We have less than 2 minutes. Gotta go. Sorry, got 2 minutes to go.
Well, so I guess I'll talk to you again in a couple years.
Yeah, when you call in, we can take. You know what? I have a.
Hey, I don't live in. I'm not in New York. I'm in West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Call from long distance.
Nice.
I can't.
VAI is still it.
All right, West Virginia. I like that.
Yeah.
Listen, you call from your cell. That's what you do. Or you can do. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a free conference call number that people can call in on. And I registered on the night shift, and I'll put it up on the Facebook page when we get back on our social media.
Wow.
But yes, and we can take multiple calls. It'll be like the old days. We're going to try it, Byron.
I am prepared.
Oh, yeah, you used to do that. I was trying to call all night. You can only do one call at a time.
Yeah, one call at a time.
Do I need to do like
I remember when you used to do like you had two or three people on at the same time.
Two or three? Yeah, please. Oh, back in the day, we had like 10 or 11. Are you kidding?
See, I go way back, man.
There you go. All right.
I do too.
Your barn goes back.
And I was asking you for some of that damn good music you're supposed to
play. Listen, email me right now because I don't see anything KST.
On, let's make
this email me.
Action.
Life is like right. sciencefiction at gmail.com. Tell me what you ain't got. We'll get it to you. I will get it to you.
Damn. What's the name? How you say it? Say it again.
Life is like science fiction.
Life is like science fiction.
At gmail.com. That's the email. That's the email. And if you want to visit us on the web.
Science fiction.
Life is like science fiction. All one word. Life is like science fiction at gmail.com. You can email us. If you want to visit us on the web. Well, do it. Do it tonight. Do it right now. Do it now. Right now.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yo, it was good talking to you. Love VAI.
Yes, sir.
I miss New York.